I'm going to start with a song called I Claim a Blessing. One of the ways to be here is to really appreciate every moment that you are in with gratitude. And I love this turn of phrase by Claudia Kerwin, I claim a blessing. It's like everything is blessed. This is a blessing. I feel blessed. But I love this. I claim a blessing. It's pretty repetitive. So as we go on, if you feel like joining in, please do. Set the mood. In the morning when I get out of bed, claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. Before I even lift my head, I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. This is how I start my day, knowing good is on the way. I am claiming perfect health, love and laughter, friends and wealth. In the morning when I get out of bed, I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. Before I even lift my head, I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. With conviction, undeterred, power of the spoken word. Take my life and redefine, break the shackles of my mind. In the morning when I get out of bed, I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. Before I even lift my head, I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. In the morning when I get out of bed, claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. I claim a blessing. So, the reason I pick this topic of if you're not here, where are you, is because if we're not here, a lot of times we're still in the past, pulling our past with us, or worrying about the future. And there is such a beauty and also a difficulty in staying centered in this moment. One of the ways to stay in this moment is with physical action, because the body itself can only be in the present moment. And it's our mind and our emotions that pull us in the past and the future. So doing physical exercises that take our attention, even doing a puzzle, taking a walk and really being in the walk, not listening to your phone, let's say, or sewing, kneading bread, working in your garden, if you're really involved in it, while you're physically doing it, it really helps to center you into this present moment. So I want to start this talk by asking you, what do you do physically that consumes you and something you do frequently? So think about that. And if anybody's willing to share something that you do in your life that really consumes you and brings you into this moment. Pulling weeds. Anyone else?
Walk the river.
Walk the river.
I have a 7-month-old puppy, and she's a friend of the parents, so I'm playing with her and get her to stop biting me.
Yeah, good. Anyone else?
Well, my garden consumes me.
Yeah.
Not just pulling weeds.
I get it.
There's a lot of that, but not just.
Sure. Planting, watering.
Especially now.
Checking the tomatoes to see, you know, where they're at.
Make sure there's no tomato worms.
Yeah, there you go. Meditation. Yoga.
Practicing
your instruments. Yeah. So these are things that you already do in your life that help you, ground you in the present moment. What is something that you do habitually in your day that you just do by habit and you don't even think? And for me, one of those things was brushing my teeth.
I was thinking that.
Because you're just not even thinking about what you're doing. And recently I switched dentists. And they started me on this whole new thing, and I thought I was really doing a good job, you know. Water pick, electric toothbrush, and flossing, and, well, there's more. There's a special brush that reaches in the back, and there's these special things that get in the gaps, and, well, maybe you could be running your toothbrush a little longer. So now, instead of just going in when I'm half asleep and just brushing my teeth and saying, time for bed, I have to start earlier because I have to pay attention to what I'm doing. So now brushing my teeth has become a thing that I do that I pay attention to. That I didn't for, like, what? So many. It's a couple of years, yeah. So what is something that you all do in your life that's so habitual that you think you might be able to put more energy into, more awareness into? You don't have to share or answer that. It could be something you take with you into your day. So there are so many things that we habitually do without even thinking. We have a whole, like, I don't know, you're probably awake at least 16, maybe at least 12 hours, you know, and you're doing things all the time without even thinking, right? So I challenge you to pay more attention to some of the things you do. I mean, like even driving, like nobody said driving, right? Like, you pay attention when you're driving, but how many of us have gotten there and went, wow, I don't even remember, like, driving here? Yeah, yeah. Even though you know that safety-wise, you need to be paying attention, and you sort of are, you know. Yeah. So I just wanted to introduce that into your thinking. A lot of what keeps us from the present moment is our, I'm going to call it an obsession, but it's just our carrying our stories with us. We are so attached to our stories. The stories that we tell about ourselves to ourselves and to others, and the stories that our community and society tells us about ourselves. And whether we agree with them, like them or not, we're attached to what they tell us. And it colors us. Some of our stories that we tell ourselves are stories of traumatic or painful things that have happened that are hard to let go of. And we, because they're so painful to confront, we put them aside because they're too hard to deal with at the moment. And with time, it feels a little softer, but they're still there and they haven't been dealt with. And at some point, you need to look at this event and come to terms that this happened. This is in the past. This is not what's happening now. Often you need help to do that. If it's a large traumatic thing in your life, you'll need, it's not something you can do on your own. You need counseling, you need help. Sometimes just you can do it by yourself. Sometimes you can do it in a small group of people who you feel safe sharing with. Sometimes you can do this by yourself, sitting in meditation, working with deeper meditation. All of us have either some trauma or some perceived trauma that's happened in our life. So all of us have this, and we carry it until we come to some way to make peace with it and realize that It's not what's happening now, and I have choices. It's not an easy subject. And even though things are painful, we are very, very attached to them. And one way this, it doesn't always come out in the most obvious ways. I was having trouble sleeping for a long time. Whenever my husband came in, I would like leap out of the bed. So I was actually accosted in my sleep. Not horribly, but it was still an invasion. And for a long time, I was such a light sleeper, I couldn't sleep. I did not feel safe. And especially with a man walking in my room, I did not feel safe. So it took a long time for me to realize I didn't even know I was doing that. He'd say, you know, when I came to bed, you yelled, you know, you jumped out of your bed. And so I didn't even know. So it's very deep-rooted, some of the things. And knowing that I did that and knowing that I was still carrying that with me, I started thinking about it. Okay, why is this still with me? Do I really not feel safe? Do I really feel helpless? Do I really feel like this is going to happen today? No, I don't. So that kind of empowered me to think, okay, so maybe certain rituals make me feel safer. Maybe knowing that I'm older, wiser, more aware of my environment makes me feel safer. I came to a way of dealing with it. Yes, it's still there, but it's not affecting me today. I can sleep now. And this story has lost its sting, its power. Exactly. So that's an unpleasant thing, that a story that I've been carrying with me as part of my identity of who I am. And in some ways, it's made me who I am today. I'm very empathetic to other people who have had these kind of experiences. You know, I understand that feeling. Things that happen to us give us this opportunity to be more empathetic in our community and with others. Not all of the stories we bring with us are bad, you know, or painful. Some of the stories we carry with us are like beautiful memories and it's not that I'm saying you need to let go of them. It's just you need to realize that first love, that amazing moment at Carnegie Hall or whatever, it's a beautiful picture that you'll always have with you. And now, today, you have the opportunity to create more beautiful pictures. And if you're so full of everything you're carrying with you, where are you going to put the new stuff, right? So at some point, it's knowing the past is still there and being so blessed and grateful that everything that happened to you has brought you here now and made you who you are now. So in this way, you're not so full of every story that you bring that you can't open your eyes to love, open your eyes to new experiences, to learn a new instrument even, to make new friends, to travel to new places. I always wondered why people ate McDonald's in Paris. You know, it's because of a comfort, right? Or why New Thought churches still sing the Lord's Prayer. Just kind of a personal question I had. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but if it's New Thought, why aren't we singing new songs? Why aren't we writing new anthems? Just my own personal, you know, question. It's like, how do you honor the past, all its beauty and all its pain, and acknowledge that it made you who you are and not let it rule the day? And the way to do that is to be in the now. So it's not just the past, but that is a big part of it. It's also worrying about the future. That keeps us from the moment. And, you know, we have real concerns, you know, with health, people we care about, events in our community, in our world. There are things that trouble us. we know in our mind that worrying about them doesn't help, but worrying does bring an awareness of certain things, and maybe it will give us some, lead us to questions, lead us to ways that we can feel we can do something. One of the things about dealing with the future is that we're always worried we're going to make a mistake, that we're not going to do something right. And I love this this idea from Brené Brown. I think a lot of you know who she is. And I just found out that one of her TED Talks has had 60 million views. I know, right? So she calls herself a recovering perfectionist. And one of the things that trouble us is we want to get it right, right? Like we want to do things right, we want to be in perfect health, and we just want to do everything right and be perfect. And I have to read this from, this is from her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are, which is in itself fabulous. I love that. Let go of who you think you're supposed to be and embrace who you are, the beautiful you. And this is from her book. As a recovering perfectionist and an aspiring good enoughist, I have found it extremely helpful to bust some of the myths about perfectionism so that we can develop a definition that accurately captures what it is and what it does to our lives. Perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. Perfectionism is not about healthy achievement and growth. Perfectionism is the belief that if we live perfect, look perfect, act perfect, we can minimize or avoid the pain of blame, judgment, and shame. It's a shield. Perfectionism is a 20-ton shield that we lug around thinking it will protect us, when in fact it's the thing that is really preventing us from taking flight. Perfectionism is not self-improvement. Perfectionism is at its core about trying to earn approval and acceptance. Most perfectionists were raised being praised for achievement and performance, people-pleasing. Somewhere along the way, we adopt this dangerous and debilitating belief system, I am what I accomplish and how well I accomplish it. Please perform perfect. As in to please, to perform, to be perfect. Healthy striving is self-focused. How can I improve? Perfectionism is other-focused. What will they think? So, I think a lot of us can relate to that. And when I think about how do I improve, how do I let go of worry about the future, I think, well, what I'm going to do today is lay a foundation. Today I'm going to pay attention to what's really important. The heart. Love. A peaceful and healthy world and relations. The things that are really important to me and to all of us. And so I try and lay a foundation, knowing that if I lay this foundation, there is a force beyond just me that carries this intention. And how it will play out, I don't know. And I don't need to know. It will be revealed. I will end up coming to Franklin, who knew, and meeting all of you. This will change the course of my life in some way. Sometimes we don't even, you know, it's kind of like that parable about, think they call it two boats and a helicopter, where the guy is drowning and he's praying to God, like save me, and sends a boat and a helicopter and a dolphin, and he ends up drowning. And it's like, where were you? And it's like, where were you? I was there for you. So it's like, you don't know how it's going to come. And you don't really have control over tomorrow so much. All you can do is be the best you can today and do the best you can for today and not judge it and not measure it or quantify it. Just do the best you can today, and that will take you into tomorrow, which I know is easier said than done sometimes, because there are things to worry about, even though it's not going to help you. So my thought on this is, the more, like, I know that as far as like performing and being on stage, it's really easy to get nervous. And what helps me is to be as prepared as I can, and then to just let go of it and trust myself. Trust that I know what I want to talk about. Trust myself that even if I play the wrong chord, it's fine. You know, it's not going to suck. It's just a chord. It's going to pass. You know, that the message and the song is still going to tell its story. It's still going to reach you. You know, it's, so I have a certain amount of trust. I build the foundation, and then I trust. And so I'd like to close with this idea of trust. Trust in yourself that if you do the best you can, what comes, is what's meant to be. Whether it's what you consider good or bad, it's what's meant to be. And you will step into it with grace and with love and do, once again, the best you can. And that not being less than, that being all. The best you can is good, it's enough. Like she said, Brené Brown, I'm striving to be a good enoughist. It's like good enough, like it, people say that as if it's like less than perfect. No, good enough is good enough. It's enough. And believing that we're enough and that we're doing the best we can, like having that kind of faith in yourself and faith that you are taking the right path is, it's not taught to us. We have to learn that ourselves and practice it. So it's our form of practical spirituality. So this song, called Let Go, Let God, was written by P.J. Morton. He's the pianist in Maroon 5, but he also is a very amazing gospel singer and writer, and really a big deal in the gospel world, which I had no idea. I was watching one of BET's, Rising Gospel Star reality show or something, and someone sang this song that I loved. And I found out about it, and it's like, what? It was written by this rock star? What? Anyway, it's a great song. Couldn't seem to fall asleep, there's so much on my mind. Searching for that peace I could not find. So I settled down to praying, help me please. And I heard a voice say, you have what you need. Soon as I stopped worrying how the story ends, I let go and I let God. Let God lead the way. That's when things start happening. When I stop worrying about back then, I let go and I let God. Let God lead the way. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way. Oftentimes I struggle day to day. Have to realize it's not my battle, not a battle to fight. And I know that I am a force of light. Soon as I stop worrying how that story ends, I let go and I let God lead the way. That's when things start happening. I stopped looking at back then. I let go and I let God lead the way. Let go, let God. Sing this with me. Just the words, let go, let God. Let go, let God. Let go, let God. Let go, let God. Let go. Keep it going. Let go, let go. Let go and let God, let go. Let God, let go, let God. Soon as I stopped worrying how the story ends, I let go and I let God. Let God lead the way. Thank you.